And Rick's right. It's nerve-wracking when you get up here. Everything changes up on the platform. And it's just a great thing to get to do. I was in a church this morning that they're building one, and you step around boards and scaffolding and through the sawdust, and there's work going on. One of the first times is this on? The first time I got to preach here, August the 18th, the preacher said, "Put that mic right." And I can still feel it. I know exactly where to put the mic every time. Right there where it's throbbing. I've had that pointed finger in my chest many a time since the days of my youth. Oh yeah, it's great. It's great. Oh boy. So, I reckon I'm here because Lord had me be here, but Brother Roger's having some issues with his old heart, so we need to pray for him. But, you know, I mean, if he had the dice, so I'd get to preach. Appreciate it. Don't matter to me, but you've ever read the Bible, and while you're reading, God brings someone to your mind. Oh, this is glorious. There's two couples, I should say, that came to my mind. I was reading in the book of Proverbs one day. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, the first half of this verse. It said, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast." And my heart went out for Don Lively and Roger Gerwig. For many years, they've regarded their wives and took care of them. And beasts, they're just beasts, I'm telling you. And Don lives on a mission field, I'm telling you. And he'll have something to lay down at his feet, I guarantee it. Anyways, I had to get that out of the way. So this evening, this will be my first ever message of, I guess, kind of help. Kind of instruction. Help meaning, you might not say amen once. Meaning, here comes a choo-choo train, open up, here's the medicine. But you got to understand that I love you. I love you, people. As bad as it seems that I am at times, I'm hard to put up with, I know it. And I'm confessing to you right off the bat. I'm the first one to go underneath the bus tonight. Okay? And you know, I want to be a help to people. If I don't want to be a help to people, I would be home.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
If I'm up here just to put on a performance, I'm wasting my time.
Right.
I'm bringing shame to Christ, I believe. I'm wasting my time and I'm wasting yours. So, as I build into this message, I am going to take my time tonight. Don't know how long I'll be. Before my mic went dead, I was telling you, I was in church this morning, had no power, got to preach in the dark. And anyways, it was a great experience because every time I go to the pulpit and I'm unsure of what He's really wanting me to preach on, you always, seems like you go and you are as prepared as you know to be. You have a message, you have some notes. But you're still saying, "God, what do you want? Show me, Lord, and I'll do it." Every time I've done that, He's always changed it when I got in the pulpit. He showed me.
Yeah.
And I always give people time to testify, times. That's one reason you come to church, to worship.
Right.
You ought to come to get, you ought to come to give.
Right.
So, they was giving testimonies, and it's a church that's hurting. They voted in a pastor today, and I praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
But they're hurting people. And in their testimonies, with tears in their eyes, they just was talking about the goodness of God through what all they went through. And the Lord showed me what to preach. And I preached on what to do when the mighty have fallen. Go up. Where Saul had died, and David inquires of the Lord, shall I go up in the cities? And he says, go up.
Right.
So kind of like what that song was saying, I don't know how what your hurt is. I don't know who in your life has failed you. I don't know what's the circumstance, but when others have fallen, you don't have to fall with them.
That's right.
And when the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perish, you have one thing to do. To go up. Continue.
Amen.
Continue. I'm not going to preach that tonight, but I just wanted to share it with you. If you're hurting tonight, let me tell you what you do. You hurt and go on.
Amen.
If you got to go on and hurt, you just go on. So anyways, praise the Lord. And Galatians 4:16, you ain't got to turn there, but I will read and explain to you my heart this evening. I come to this pulpit heavy this evening. Heavy as I've ever come to preach, because it's not maybe easy what I'm going to say tonight. But I plan on saying everything I have wrote. And I need you to understand before we continue that I love you and I want to help you. Galatians 4:16. Paul here says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? No one wants to hear the truth unless it's in their favor.
Right. That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And there's one thing that would cause you to become my enemy is if you allow pride to rise up as you hear what I have to say. Okay?
Right.
As long as we're all together here. But my intent tonight is not to add to my enemy list.
Yeah.
It is to help you.
Sure.
Let me read you a poem that we all know. Maybe not by heart. I know I don't. I know of it. Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I'd ever do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others.
Yes.
Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee.
Yes. Amen. Good.
You see, it's about going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, yes. But it's also about one another.
Yeah.
It's one another, unity, love. So tonight I want to preach on, I reckon it would be preaching on love. The me of all people is going to preach on love.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, this ain't from me. I am simply the messenger.
Right. Yeah.
And as much as you all would have loved to shoot this messenger, don't do it till I'm done. Because what I have, I believe, will help you. I am nothing but the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And if I ever become more than the mouthpiece, I need to get out of the way.
Right.
Because that's all I am.
Right.
John 13:34. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You understand, and I've said this many times, and I mean it. The Bible and the Lord never makes suggestions. You understand that? He commands us. He never says, I think it would be a good idea if you love one another. No. The Savior says, I command you that you love one another. You understand? It's not an option in His eyes. Verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Yes, amen.
1 John chapter 4. This will tie into this scripture. It says that by this others, all men will know that you're my disciples. Now what's that meaning? Well, after we read 1 John here, chapter 4, I will explain to you what that means. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. That says, if you're saved, you'll love. That says that if you're saved, you will love others, and love is of God. God is love. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. Verse 8. Now here's where this would be a verse most would like to look over. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Let me help you out with that. If there's 100 people in the room and you love 99 and you hate the one, the Bible says you don't know God. The Bible says that you'll be known that you're my disciple if you love them. So what's the opposite of that? If you don't love them, we know you're not my disciple. So plainly tonight, if you don't love someone, God may not be in you. What's that mean? You might be lost.
Yeah.
I said if you don't love someone, you might be lost.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, I will explain. I will use myself as this example. I am hard to love most of the time. Okay? I'm not telling you that it's easy. Loving others may be the hardest thing to do. I mean, if I asked you all what you really thought of me, you would say amen with that.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm not telling you that I am a piece of cake to get along with, and I'm sorry for that. I'm trying to get out of the way and let the Lord lead my life. So understand that if you're having trouble loving, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay?
That's good.
Stick with me.
Don't shut me off.
That's good. It proves what it says. If you love others, that's a for sure sign. Man, you're saved. If you're having issues with one, you better. It could prove that you're not saved. 1 John, moving on. Verse 9. We will see how God loved us, and He still does. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him.
Right.
Herein is love. Not that we loved God. None of us loved God even before we saved. Most of us don't love Him too much after we're saved.
That's true.
You understand that?
Yes.
Because when you're doing what you want instead of what He wants, you're putting yourself for Him.
Amen.
And the one you love the most is at the top.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Don't shut me off. Listen up.
Amen.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And sent His capital S Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
Now, those two verses show us how God loves us. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another.
That's right. Well
Now, if we're saved, we're in Christ. Christ is in us. We have become a child of the King. And we are to be Christ-like.
Right.
That's why we're called Christians.
Right.
But you understand that you can be saved. Don't just pay attention here. You can be saved and not be a Christian.
That is true.
Now, let me ask you something. Well, let me explain that. Then I'll ask. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Because they were Christ-like. I've been saved for 8 years now, but have for 8 years have I been Christ-like? 100% of the time? No. But that don't change the fact I've been saved. You understand, you can't lose your salvation.
Right.
But we're not always Christians.
That's true.
Are you hearing me?
That's true.
If you're a Christian, that means you're Christ-like.
Yeah.
But if you go around saying, I'm a Christian, in a boastful way, you're not. Pride. I'm telling you, it's so easy not to be a Christian.
Yeah, amen.
It's so easy not to be one.
Yeah.
You'll not be one on accident either.
That is right.
You have to purpose in your heart and your mind, every decision of my life, every day, Lord, what do you want? How can I obey you?
That is right.
1 John 4:20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. How many liars we got in here tonight? Y'all might be looking at one. At times, I'm just being honest. I'm bad about being transparent and people being like, oh man, why, you ain't got to tell us all that. I might have to, because I don't want you ever to think that I'm up here as if I don't need this.
Yeah. Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
The preacher has to have it before you get it.
Yes.
If the preacher's not willing to hear the message and apply the message, he don't need to preach the message.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
This is for everyone.
Amen.
If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?
Right. Yeah.
You're going to tell me that I can love someone just as easy. Let me back up. I don't want to get off here. How can for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen? If you can't love someone you see that may even do something for you, how are you going to love God? How are you going to have that faith to love God?
That is right.
Just questions. I've learned that in preaching, you may get further with just asking questions than making statements.
Yeah.
I'm just asking a question. Y'all preach it to yourself. Just answer. Me asking you the question lets me get the point across without seeming like I'm scolding you.
Right.
You understand?
Right. Yeah.
And this commandment have we from Him. Who's Him? Oh yeah, God Almighty.
That's right.
That he who loveth God loveth his brother also.
That's what it says. Amen. Amen to the Word of God.
If you don't love your brother, you don't love God. The opposite of love is hate. Or C, if I don't love you, I hate him. Ouch.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't write it. Don't look at me. It's his word. I'm just telling you what it says.
That's all right.
And I don't want to use the Word of God to beat you over the head with. Okay?
I'm just
want to explain thoroughly the best I can. Romans 13, verse 8. Here's one that's just another. Anytime you talk about love, it just, why is it so hard?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Romans 13, verse 8. And when I explain this, some might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm pretty sure I do know about this. Not as a pride. I just, the way I understand this, the Lord speaks to me. 13 verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I just come to tell you, you all owe me something. Y'all are in debt to me the same as I'm in debt to you.
Right.
What is it that I'm in debt to you to do? Love you.
Amen.
And you can't put a price on that love.
Amen. Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
You're in debt to this guy.
Amen.
That when you see me coming, You love me.
Yeah.
I'm in debt to you.
Yeah.
We owe each other something.
Yeah.
And that one thing is love.
Amen.
By the way, some of us are a few payments behind.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, God speaks to me a lot different than I believe He does others. And here's a statement that I believe we've all heard. It's called, "Eat the chicken and spit out the bone."
Yeah.
Everyone heard that?
Yeah.
Now, what's that mean? Normally, you hear that with preaching. Ding dong got up here and he's just that guy. You got to eat chicken, spit out the bone. I agree. Every preacher's going to say something stupid.
Yeah.
I can say that. I'm a preacher.
Yeah, we all have. Yeah. All right.
But it's more than preaching. It's with individuals every day of your life.
Man.
That when I see Landon coming, I say, "Landon, I love you. I'm going to go ahead and eat the chicken, spit out the bone."
Good.
It's not picking apart a preacher's message.
Amen.
And if he's got the correct content, delivery is nothing but your opinion in most cases.
Right.
You understand?
That is right.
You don't knock a preacher for his delivery. Now, there is a line they cross, and I'm about to light the preachers up. I'm just telling you. But when it comes to people, we're all idiots. Every one of us has quirks.
Right.
We have issues.
Don't we though?
But because of what Rick said, the Lord Jesus Christ gives something good in us all.
Yeah.
Now, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's none to do with good. So don't think that I'm saying you're good. You got a good soul. You know, I'm not saying that. We're all wicked and doomed to hell unless we call on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this evening, every one of us has a pile of bones that comes with us.
Yeah, we do.
But because of the Lord Jesus, there is something positive in every one of us.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is for you all. Sarcasm's mine. He gave me the gift of sarcasm. It's a joke. So, what I'm telling you is, every one of us has issues.
Yeah.
Rick says horses are like people. They all got issues. They all got quirks.
Yeah.
Okay? So keep in mind that we all have something positive symbolizing the chicken, and we all have issues symbolizing the bones.
Yeah.
Stick with me. Don't shut me off. Let me stick with my notes. We've looked at several verses that talks about love. And what I mean by that is how to eat the chicken and spit out the bone. Okay?
Yeah.
We all understand that analogy, that example I'm trying to use.
Yeah.
We can move on. So with that being said, a for sure sign... Now hear me. A for sure sign that you don't love somebody is when you're choking on a bone. I'm telling you, listen.
Yeah.
You don't love somebody when you get hung up on one of their bones in your throat.
Yeah.
That you said, "I hate them. I'm going to swallow this bone, try to eat it." Instead of, "I love them anyways."
Yeah.
Hear me.
Yeah.
Hear me.
Amen.
Preachers, you ready?
Yeah.
You want to know why? The reason why you don't have a positive impact in your preaching from the pulpit with people is because you're choking on one of their bones.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. This is a pet peeve of mine. When I hear a preacher that preaches mean and rough, I shut him off. I can't stand it. You're not going to get nowhere with me. Now, I'm not meaning, he's mean-spirited. I'm not meaning not taking correction. Reprove and rebuke.
Sure, sure.
Then exhort.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Tony Hudson says 2/3 of the pulpit ministry is rip and hide. I don't know that I agree with all that. But you have to do it at sometimes because people got problems. I'm not saying hard preaching is not needed.
Right.
No, that's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying a Joel Osteen, just live your best life. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm saying there has to be some correction from the pulpit.
Sure.
There has to be.
Sure.
But if you can't correct without loving, shut up.
Yeah.
And sit down.
Amen.
There ain't no sense in acting like an idiot from this pulpit or any pulpit.
Right.
You don't win people with force, with words. You win people with love.
Yeah. Right.
If you can't tell someone the truth in compassion, shut your mouth.
Yeah. Amen.
And keep it shut.
Amen.
Because you're going to bring more reproach upon the name of the Lord than anything.
That's right.
That is true.
I've heard preachers preach disgruntled as if they're bitter at the ministry. They know what's going on in people's lives, and because of that, they're going to just be as mean as possible and use the Bible as a cover-up. That's what the Word of God says. No? It may say that. Just like the issue of the King James. I don't care how right you are with one of the goats that busted out of here a few years ago. I don't care how right you are in the argument. I don't care what grounds you have. If you say it in a mean spirit or a bad attitude, you're getting nowhere.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Do that.
Good preacher.
That is right.
I have a friend, and I could say his name and everybody going to know him, a preacher. He don't believe in the salvation as a way of keeping it. But I'm not going to rip that relationship apart just because I'm right. Look, if they don't carry the same Bible as you, they're not your enemy. They may be wrong, but they ain't your enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But preachers will puff up in pride because they got people that they know what's going on and they don't like it, so they're going to preach in pride and they're choking on their bones.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Jude 22. Jude chapter 1, verse 22. And some, and of some, having compassion, making a difference.
Amen.
If you preachers, you teachers of the Word of God, have no compassion in your teaching and your preaching, you will make no difference for the good.
Amen.
It's never a neutral. You're going to have them come closer to the Lord, or you will push them away further.
Right.
If you can't say it with compassion, don't say it at all. If you don't have compassion for others, preachers, you won't make a difference.
Yeah.
You'll make a mess.
Amen.
When you preach without compassion, you immediately become a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, why are you saying that? You don't know the stuff that I sit on that front pew and mark out before I preach. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ giving me discernment, He says, you dummy, take that pen and mark that, what you put in, not me, out.
Right.
All because I know what's going on somewhere.
Right.
I got to get over your bones.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Here's one I've been told when I talk about marriage or children. Well, who are you? How can you talk to me about my marriage, which I'm not giving advice. It's too late. But just because I'm not married don't mean I can't give you biblical truth from the Word of God.
That's true.
Okay?
That's right.
So spouses, listen up. I believe our homes are in trouble because spouses are choking on each other's bones.
Sure. Absolutely.
I can't help you married them. I wasn't there. I wasn't there to give my peace.
Yeah.
Opie Taylor did, but I was not. Ephesians 5:22.
That's good.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is a Savior of the world. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So first of all, wives, we see that the Bible says you're to submit to your own husband.
Yes, amen.
Pretty cut and dry, not much explanation needed.
Right.
For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, husbands, I know I ain't married. Don't shut me off because I'm not. But when it says you're the head of the home, you're not her boss.
Right.
You're the spiritual leader of the household. That when times you got to put your foot down, put it down in love.
That's true.
And lead your home.
Amen.
Okay, you're not her boss. God took the bone from the side, and that's where you're to be, by her, His side.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
The wife, you're not under her husband's. You're not above her as her boss, but nothing but her spiritual leader. Because if Christ is not the head of your home, you got a mess anyways. He just puts you to lead your family by wisdom and discernment that you as the husband and or father gets from God. So husbands, let me ask you something. Do you live and lead a life that would make your wife want to submit to you?
Yeah, good question.
Yes, you have to submit, but in our eyes, are you worth submitting to?
Right.
Are you an idiot that don't know what? No, like, if you're not seeking God for leadership, there's not really much to submit to there.
Right.
You understand? I understand sometimes, unfortunately, that either one of the spouses, it's hard to submit to because they're away from God and they're not where they're to be. So it's hard, and I understand it's all out of whack. That if you're not right this way, you won't be right this way. I promise you.
Amen.
I've heard Him say it, and it's true. With any relationship.
Amen.
When Eddie White does a marriage counseling, comes in, they sit down, sir, do you know with all your heart that you're right with God? Yes, sir. Wife, do you believe with all your heart you're right with God? Yes, sir. Well, why are y'all here?
Right.
What are y'all doing in my office?
Yeah. Amen.
If there ain't no problem with you and the Lord, what's the deal?
Amen.
Somebody somewhere going to have to accept the fact they're wrong.
Amen.
And it might be both of you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just doing my best to help you tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, wives, I understand things are hard. And husbands, I understand sometimes things are hard. But wives, have you ever shut your mouth and got out of the way long enough to let Him lead?
Amen.
To give Him an opportunity to take a stand and lead the home?
Amen. Amen.
Just a question.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you're choking on each other's bones, it ain't going to work.
Amen.
It ain't going to work. I just can't stand the way my husband does this. You like that paycheck, don't you?
No.
I'd throw that bone out and I'd pick his laundry up for him. Now it's a shame. Fellas,
yeah,
I live by myself and sometimes I get aggravated. This is a mess. You got to clean this place up. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, yeah, I know. Sorry. Oh, man. No, I'm telling you. So, I understand. I mean, all I can tell you from a single man to married people, love one another.
Yes, amen.
Eat the chicken and spit out the bone. Take the good with the bad. But if you just dwell on the bad, it's not a happy ending.
That's right.
I don't care if the pile of bones ratio is way bigger than the meat.
Yeah, that's good.
He's yours. She's yours. You got what you paid for, I reckon. I don't know, but I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
If you're choking on a bone, you need to get over it.
Yeah, amen.
You need to get over it.
Yeah, amen.
All right, kids, your turn. Children, listen up. Ephesians 6:1. Children, this is one of the first verses I ever memorized. Still working on it.
Yeah.
children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Yeah.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Now looky here, I didn't say nothing about love. Well, let me tell you how you can love your parents. By obeying them.
Amen.
And honoring them.
Amen.
And with obeying them, you will honor them.
Yes, amen.
But if you ain't obeying, you ain't honored.
Amen.
Now kids, let me help you out. You can't love your parents. You can love your parents by doing what the Bible just said to do. Honor and obey. Although in most cases, kids, hear me. I understand the parents that we see at church are not the parents you see at home.
Right. That is
true. I understand. Hear me.
That's true. Amen.
I understand that when they pull on this property, it's a fake. And when they go home, the real comes out.
Yes.
You can't fool your kids.
Amen.
You can't fool your kids.
Amen.
Even though your parents in your life or any adult in your life may be wrong. Hear me, I understand. Adults don't always get it right, and your parents ain't always right.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you cannot disrespect them because you know they're wrong. No, no. It never changes the fact that they're your authority.
Amen.
You hearing me?
Amen. Amen.
Even if they're wrong and you're right, you keep your mouth shut and do what you're told to do.
Amen.
If daddy drinks a 6-pack a day and says, boy, I'll kill you if you ever touch one of these. Hypocrite, I get it. But that don't change the fact that he is over you and he's your authority.
Yeah, amen.
So just because you're right and they're wrong, which will be very rare, that still don't give you the right to disobey and do what you think's right. Because then you're wrong because you disobeyed.
Amen.
So kids, I understand. With parents, and I understand. You got to love your parents for who they are and what they do for you. I don't care what has happened. You're to honor and love them.
Yeah, amen.
Eat the chicken and spit out the bone, kids.
Yeah,
amen. Oh, this is for everyone. We can quote this, Psalm 119, 165.
Yeah.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Well said. Amen. True.
No matter the relationship with whoever it is, you don't have to be offended.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And I don't care what the situation, what in our mind would make sense to be offended over, it's never worth being offended over. You understand that if you are mad and you're offended because of what they did to you, you're wrong. You're the one that has to repent. If you're offended, you're against God. You have to repent. You have the choice in every situation of life to eat the chicken or spit out the bone.
Amen.
But if you find yourself offended, you're choking on a bone. I'm telling you it's the truth.
Amen.
If you're offended, what you're saying is, I have made the decision to spit the chicken out, eat this bone, and try to swallow and get choked on. I'm not going to take the positive of any situation, but instead I'll take the negative.
Yeah.
If you're offended, that's what you have done.
Right. Amen.
I understand. People offend. It's easy done. None of this, as I'm telling you, is easy. But I'm telling you, it can be done.
Yeah.
But if you find a bone lodged in your throat, you've made the decision to put it there.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, that's good.
So we're going to close tonight. And in closing, if you're choking on a bone, I urge you to come and repent. Well, you say, well, they did it. It's their fault. No. What's in you is put in you by you.
Yeah.
What you take from a situation is your decision.
Yeah. Amen.
No one can force a bone on you.
Yeah. Amen.
It's laid out there. The choice is yours. Yeah. And I know some people, you understand God has no bones. God has no bones. And this wasn't in my notes, but I'll throw it in here. You ever make up a bone?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I'm wicked. I have sat in this church, played out vain imagination scenarios, and had some of you in the floor beating on you.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how did I get there?
Yeah.
Help me, Lord. I need help.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm just being honest with you. I'm not the only one I know. It's vain imaginations. And how do we get there? I'm in the process of making up a bone to go home mad about something that's not even happened.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Amen. Amen.
Why do we do that? Why? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, you can't make up a bone, but we do. Let me tell you something. More friendships, more gossip, more church splits, home bust, comes from false assumptions over something that didn't even happen. That's the culprit. Vain imaginations. Look, you're going to have to gird up the loins of your mind, as the Bible says. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
When you feel your mind wandering, gird up the loins of that mind. And get it back where it ought to be.
Amen.
But God has never done anything to anybody, any of His children, I should say, for harm. I don't care who He's taken from your life. I don't care what job, what house, what it don't matter. There's no bone when it comes to God. But you got a bone you've made up, and you're mad at God because of something He's never done to you.
Yeah.
I don't know what bone you're choking on over what situation. But we got bones. We're all choking on a bone somewhere. Every one of us, there's a bone in us somewhere we're choking on. Most of the time, I promise you. Thousands upon thousands have literally died from choking on a bone.
Yeah.
5 out of 2,000 people die because they choke on a bone physically. Just telling you. I don't know how many people that would be at the end of things, but I know many that are dying right now spiritually because they're choking on a bone. They didn't eat the chicken and spit out the bone. They left the chicken on the plate, the good part of somebody. I said the good part of somebody, the positive thing of the situation. And they said, no, I want to hate their guts. Give me the bone.
Yeah, amen.
That's what we all say. That's what, at times, that's what we're doing.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Those of you that won't let go of bitterness and offendedness and hatred towards others, I'm warning you, hear me, if you don't spit out the bone, it's going to kill you.
Yeah, amen.
And it ain't just going to kill you, it's going to kill your marriage, and it's going to kill your home.
Yeah, amen.
The effect of your choices don't stop with you. It goes on forever.
Yeah.
The bone you're choking on today will affect your grandkids 30 years from now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So tonight, do yourself a favor. And I'm urging you to come to this altar and say, God, please remove this bone.
Yes, sir.
Help me when I see others to eat the chicken and spit out the bone.
Yeah. Amen.
Who cares what somebody's got going on in their quirks?
Right. Right.
Deal with it. Who cares?
Right. Amen.
Love them
Amen.
For who they are.
Amen. Amen.
Eat the chicken and spit out the bone.
That's good.
The invitation is this. Right now, I don't have to tell you you have bones in your throat, you're choking, it's going to kill you. You know that. I'm telling you, get to this altar, repent, and if it's somebody you know you can, get off that altar and go to them and make it right. If you want unity, if you want peace and joy, you'll get that bone removed. But if you want to die and tear down your house, tear down your family, tear down their future, you just go ahead and die with that bone in your throat. Y'all do what you want, but I'm telling you, come get the bone removed. It ain't worth going down and taking down others because you won't get over a stupid situation. I love y'all. I'm doing my best to help you. And did I have to remove a bone or two? Absolutely. I couldn't have preached this if I didn't. And there's bones that you got that you may not be aware of. Maybe they've been in there so long you've become accustomed. You've got used to it. But I'm telling you, you need to get over it and love one another. Father, thank you for these people and my family. God, and I ask you, please, oh God, please, move upon these people. God, trouble them if they need trouble. Make them miserable if they need miserable. God, that they could draw closer to you and get things right. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we ask you, please, to just have your way in this altar call. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.